It's Saturday, the 9th of April, 2016. Happy birthday to Alan Crabb and Ryan Kelly. Moneyball.com.au and T-Money311. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be like T-Money311 and be a sponsor of the podcast for a day, all you need to do is leave a review on iTunes and you can become that sponsor. Thank you to T-Money, and thank you, of course, to Moneyball, Australia's best daily fantasy sports site. So if you're living in Australia or New Zealand, make sure you are checking out Moneyball and joining in all the DFS action, and I reckon you would have been able to get a fair bit of cash today on your respective DFS sites. If you are watching this show live on YouTube, and I reckon there might be a few more of you watching live because the show is a little bit earlier today, and you want to interact with the show, tweet at me at redrock_bball. You can see the Twitter account just below my chin on the screen at the moment. Send those tweets through and we'll get to them on air if you are watching along live. Of course, if you aren't watching live, if you're listening to this podcast, you know you can tweet me at any time for any sorts of questions, and I'll get back to you as best as I can. All right, we've got 11 games. So, yeah, was it 11 games? I completely forgot how many games there were. There was a lot. I know that much. And then we've got Saturday's games to prepare for. So we've got lots to talk about. So
let's get to it.
I indeed will, Michael Bolton. The monstrous lion of the night. I don't think that he's had one of these this season, and that is Reggie Jackson of the Detroit Pistons. Jackson basically cemented the Pistons into the playoffs. 34 minutes, 39 points, 4 triples, 4 rebounds, 9 assists on 14 of 20 shooting. Now, Jackson had a horrible month throughout March, but has come back strong recently. In fact, in his last 2 weeks of action, he's averaging over 20 points a game, 6 assists, 1.7 triples, which are, and the threes especially for Reggie Jackson, are much improved. He's a guy that last year, per 36 minutes, only averaged 1.1 triple a game. This year, he's at 1.8 triples a game. So he's definitely increased that part of his game. And it was a big downfall of what he can do. The next thing he's got to really focus on is being able to get steals. He's only at 0.7 steals this year. He's only once topped one steal a game throughout his NBA career. It's a bit of a detriment to his play as a fantasy point guard anyway. But his season's been pretty good, I would say. Almost 19 points, 1.5 threes, 6 assists, 3 rebounds, 0.7 steals, and 43 and 86. These percentages aren't terrible. And he's had a pretty decent season. The assists haven't been quite the same as what they were last year. Although on the surface, you look, yes, he's averaging 6 assists this year. Last year he averaged 6.2 this year. But down the stretch with the Pistons last year, he was at about 9 assists a game. So he's had a bit of a drop off there. But at least he's adding things to his game. And Reg was on fire on Friday and takes home the monstrous line of the night. Now we're going to talk waiver wire line of the night. And a couple of my boys are factoring into this in this decision, and who do you think got it? I know I'm not going to hear your answer, but there's two of my absolute favorite guys as backup big men in the NBA had monster performances on Friday, but I'm giving the waiver wire line of the night to Cole Aldrich of the Los Angeles Clippers. Aldrich played 40 minutes, and he went 21-18. He had 2 assists, 5 steals, and a block. It doesn't get much better than that from a performance from anyone, let alone a backup. And you know I've spoken glowingly about Aldrich over the past month, probably. He is a top 100 player over the last month, despite starting just 2 games and averaging just 17 minutes a game. Because in that time, he's averaging 1.2 steals, 1.5 blocks, and his percentages are 66 and 87, which are crazy, crazy good numbers. So he's giving you positive contributions in 4 categories, and 5 if you count turnovers, for a guy playing 17 minutes a game. And yes, you know what? 6 points is not good, but he's giving you 6 rebounds in that time. You know, over a steal, 1.5 blocks. These are numbers that can be used. And then when he starts, it's absolute blow-up city for Cole Aldrich. Love this guy as a fantasy player. Really disappointed when he went to the Clippers last year, just because I'm not a Clippers fan. And secondly, that I wanted him to go somewhere where he was going to get a bigger role, and he was never going to get that with DeAndre Jordan in town, and Jordan basically never missing games. But we've seen what he can do in a limited role from a fantasy point of view, and putting up just tremendous numbers. If the Clippers happen to rest again, which they could because they're locked into the 4 seed, that's not changing. There might be one more game But even if they don't, in 18, 19 minutes, Aldridge can help in those four categories. The two percentages, steals and blocks, he's going to help in those categories. And a four-category positive contributor is not easy to find off the wire, especially a guy with such low ownership as what Cole Aldridge is. He's putting up some big numbers, and I reckon if you played him in DFS, you would have been absolutely loving it. The young gun of the night goes to Justin Anderson in Dallas. He's been threatening to put up a big game for a while, actually. Starting, played 38 minutes here as the Mavericks got the victory. 19 points, including three triples, 10 rebounds, one steal, three blocks. And this is one of the things I talked about Anderson is, you know, he was a good shooter last year in college. I think he shot 45% from three. Hasn't really translated this year, but he can rebound the ball aggressively. He blocks shots, he gets steals, he can score. And he hit all eight of his free throws today. That's pretty positive. I don't think that he's by any chance a must-own guy, but he's pretty bloody close at the moment. He's a top 100 player over the last 2 weeks. He's getting just 27 minutes a game in that time. So you get him to 30 minutes a game, and you're going to be able to get maybe a triple one over this last couple of games for the Mavericks. Yeah, on pretty decent percentages. His last 2 weeks, he's giving you 50 and 93 as his two percentages. So they're pretty impressive. Low turnovers as well. He won't be as good as this in getting a 19 and 10, but I think that Anderson, he's showing a lot. Rick Carlisle is trusting him a lot more, and it's definitely showing in his game. So he's a guy that's showing quite a lot. He was very impressive in summer league as well, put up some huge performances, and it's taken a while, but it's coming to fruition now. The dud of the night, not really his fault, but Jay Crowder just played 14 minutes and had 9 points, 2 rebounds, and 1 3. He didn't need to play many minutes because the Celtics had this one under control pretty easily against the Bucks. But that's not what you want for this point in the season. You don't want a guy like Crowder, who'd been putting up big numbers, to come out there and play 30 minutes. Or you wanted him to play 30 minutes. You don't want him to go out there and score 9 in 14 minutes, unfortunately. For the fantasy owners, he will be better than that. I imagine that when the Celtics play the Hawks on Saturday, it's going to be a lot better for Crowder, and he'll get back to that 30-minute mark. But he is the dud of the night, but it's hard to bag anything about what he's done this season. He's a top 50 player on the year. He's been a massive, massive improvement of what he did last year, and it's not just because of the extra minutes. He's increased his per 36 points, his threes, his steals, his blocks, his field goal percentage, and his free throw percentage. So the only thing that's actually dropped on a per 36 basis is his rebounding, which is pretty impressive for a guy who's getting this extra role. Everything has improved as well. So it's not just you're getting more minutes, therefore you're putting up more bulk volume stats. It's everything is actually getting better on a per-minute basis. So Jay Crowder has been fantastic. It just wasn't his night on Friday. Let's have a look at the perfect DFS lineup from Friday. Ish Smith at point guard, 40.9, a big performance from Ish. Or Reggie Jackson, we've touched on him already, 52.3. At the shooting guards, Jamal Crawford, 45. He was always in a really nice spot with all those Clippers out. And Tone Allen went for 40.9. He's a tough guy to get a handle on as to when he's going to go big. But he's always got an opportunity in Memphis, but sometimes they'll play him 20 minutes, 21. So it's really tough to rely upon him. At small forward, Bob Cove went for 47.2, a big performance there. And Evan Fournier had 45.9. Power forwards, Nerlens Noel, despite all the TMZ stuff coming out about him and the fact that he was one game back from a knee injury, he had a big night, while Dave West went for 40.4 in the Spurs game with all their guys resting. At center, of course, Cole Aldridge with 55.6, and that lineup would have given you 406.7. And I imagine, and I know that plenty of the listeners that listen to the podcast took home a fair chunk of cash after Friday's games. Cool. Now let's talk about today's sponsor, and that is Loot Crate. Loot Crate is a monthly subscription box service. It's for epic geek and gamer items and pop culture gear. It's less than $20 a month, and you get 6 to 8 items, including licensed gear, apparel, collectibles, and unique one-of-a-kind items. Head across to lootcrate.com, but use the /redrock at the end. So lootcrate.com/redrock. Enter your code redrock and save $3 on any new subscription. It doesn't get much easier than that. Each month, you have until the 19th of that month to get your hands on that month's specific crate, and then it's done. It's cooked. It's finished. You won't be getting that again. For April, the theme is Quest, so we're getting items from Harry Potter, Vikings, Uncharted 4, Labyrinth, T-shirts, pins, collectibles, all that sort of stuff. So if you're a fan of any of those things, or you're looking to buy a gift for someone who's a fan, make sure you're heading to lootcrate.com/redrock and using that coupon code and saving $3. It helps the podcast out tremendously when you do that, and you get yourself a bargain as well. So make sure you do head across to lootcrate.com/redrock and check out what they've got happening over there. All right, we're going to have a look at these games in a little bit of extra detail. I'm going to bring it up on the screen for you guys who are watching along on video, and then we'll talk through everything that happened on a pretty interesting Friday night in the NBA. I think that's one way of putting it. All right, let's get into these games. The first one was the Brooklyn Nets and the Charlotte Hornets. The Nets, only one player played 30 minutes or more, and that was Thomas Robinson, who played 31. 16 and 17, he had a steal, and this is where he's going to be of use. Big rebounding, big scoring. He doesn't block many shots. He was terrible from the free throw line. He was 2 of 8 from the line, and he went 7 of 16 from the field. So I don't buy the low field goal percentage, but the free throws were a real issue. So yes, he's going to play minutes. Yes, he's going to get lots of points and rebounds, but you won't get many blocks, and you're going to hurt your free throws. So you need to bear that in mind before you're going and adding him. As for the rest of the team, well, Shane Larkin only had 2 points, but 8 assists, 2 steals, and a block is exactly where the value comes from him, and that's why you should be owning him. Chris McCullough made a start, and I love seeing Chris McCullough starting. 25 minutes for him, 12-3-1, 3 steals and 2 triples. He could be a really interesting piece for them moving forward next season on, recovering from that ACL injury, being one of the... Don't have many young assets on this team, but he's one of them. Sean Kilpatrick went 16-2-2. He had a couple of threes and a couple of steals, and Wayne Ellington got hot. So he had 5 threes in his 21 points in 26 minutes. But as per the rule of Ellington, if he gets hot in one game, it means he'll be invisible for the next 5. So I don't think there's much to really see with Ellington after that. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson went 7-6, had a block and a three. Henry Sims played 17 minutes, and looks like they're going to be running with Thomas Robinson at center more and running guys like Chris McCullough or Bojan Bogdanovic at power forward a lot of the time. I've just been just getting interrupted by my son here. He wants me to check something on the PlayStation. Oh, he's created characters for him and myself, and we are one a tag team on WWE 2K16. You watched it? Oh, sounds like a good match, mate. The Charlotte Hornets, Kemba Walker had 22 points, including 4 triples, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, and 3 blocks in only less than 30 minutes. So another big game from Kemba. He didn't need big playing time. The Hornets had this one in control, so they were able to spread their minutes all around as well. Nick Batum returned, played 27, and went 14-6-6, including a couple of triples and a block. So good to have him back. Well, it's hard to really get much of a handle on this game because of the blowout nature. Cody Zeller played 23 minutes and had 5 blocks and a steal with 5 points and 4 rebounds. And Troy Daniels made a cameo. He played 25 minutes with the blowout happening, 17-3 with 5 threes, but he is really just a deeper league sort of player. There's not really much actionable from this sort of a game. Frank Kaminsky went 12-4, so another solid performance from Kaminsky, but he's probably more of a 14-16 team league guy, I would think. The Miami Heat and the Orlando Magic, Goran Dragic, 15-8-6. He's come a long way from the start of the season when he was dreadful, but still, he's not as awesome as what he was in Phoenix, but putting together some nice numbers. Luol Deng had 10-10, and Hassan Whiteside went 13-16 with 4 blocks. Joshy Richardson, another solid game. 33 minutes for Josh, 13-5-4, 2 threes, 1 steal, 1 block. Actually had some poor shooting for once, went 4 of 11, and that's a pretty good game from Richardson, but he's not someone who I'm absolutely in love with holding as a must-hold guy. With 4 or 5 days left in the season, you need to be really just playing to your strengths. Dwayne Wade had 17 points and 5 assists, a bit of a ho-hum night there, and Joey Johnson had 13 with not a lot else. Not much else to really report back from the Heat. They lost, which I'm sure they'd be disappointed with in the Battle of Florida. Nick Vucevic back in the starting lineup, 29-6 with a steal and 2 blocks. He has been absolutely killing it since returning from his injury. But there was another injury to report. Victor Oladipo suffered a hit to the head. He did not return to the game, and he's unlikely to play for the rest of the season. He only played 28 minutes, 13-4 with 2 blocks and a three. But this concussion looks like it's going to keep him out for the rest of the year. Aaron Gordon is also suffering a concussion. He's unlikely to play. I would say he's unlikely to play for the rest of the year as well. And with... This is the odd thing about Scott's goals. With Gordon out, Andrew Nicholson doesn't play at all. And not that I've been able to see anywhere, but I didn't see any injury reported for Nicholson. So it's just a case of Skiles being you know, I love Nicholson. Let's play him 20 minutes, 20 minutes, 20 minutes, 20 minutes. An opportunity opens up, let's play him 0. Unless I've missed something completely, but I couldn't see anything that pointed to why Nicholson sat out. That is just pure Skiles shenanigans at its best. Lord Alfred Payton played 37 minutes. He went 16, 3, and 10. That's a solid night, but beware the free throws. He went 4 of 7 there. And Evan Fournier played 46 minutes, and he's going to have to shoulder a pretty big load with Oladipo out. 28, 7, and 7 with a steal and two threes. And Mario Hezonja is going to be an interesting case. Now, he's not a guy that I'm running to add, because even in the times when he's had some decent playing time, he hasn't really totally excelled. 23 minutes for Hezonja, 9, 4, and 3. Yeah, he will be better than that, but he won't be awesome. The Magic went pretty small in this one. Ersan Ilyasova got the start. He went 4 and 6 in his 24 minutes. Not really thinking that he's going to be a must-own guy. Just confusing Skyler's performances, basically. Jason Smith had 6 and 3 and chipped in 4 blocks in 13 minutes. And he's going to have a little bit of an extended role if Gordon remains out, but I'm not overly keen on that. Brandon Jennings also didn't play, so I'm not. Yeah, I can't get my head around what Skiles does, and I'm pretty sure you're joining me in that because his decisions just don't make much sense a lot of the time. Speaking of teams with coaches whose decisions don't make much sense, Saša Vujačić played 32 minutes for the New York Knicks. He had 16, 5, and 4 with 2 steals and 2 threes, and that's brilliant production. 6 of 7 from the field, fantastic. But why is he playing? Why? It doesn't make any sense. I know they don't have many players who are good. He doesn't need to play that much. The best thing I can say about Kurt Rambis here is that Mallow only played 26 minutes. He had 20 and 3 with 2 blocks. And Jerry and Grant got 30 minutes. He went 16, 5 and 6 with a steal. Now, Grant can be really useful if he gets 30 minutes a night, but the trust in Rambis doing that is pretty low. Langston Galloway sucked. He played 31 minutes, 2, 4, and 3 with 2 steals, but I'd still be okay with using him because I think that he is going to get 30 minutes on most nights. Well, Rob Lopez was fantastic, 24 and 15 with 3 blocks. Kylo Quinn went 10 and 8 in 20 minutes with a couple of blocks, while Derek Williams, who's been starting for Kristaps
percentages
and played 26 minutes, he went 11 and 9, had an assist and a steal. He has marginal value in 12-team leagues. He's not awesome by any stretch. While there was no Kevin Seraphin in this game, and Cleanthony Early went 1-5 in his 17 minutes. He really can't get anything going, but injuries have cost him a lot of his first 2 years. I still think he's got some ability. On to the Sixers, Bob Cubb, 30-11, 7 triples, 2 assists, and 1 steals. It's been a massive roller coaster with Covington all season, but the talent is there for him. Ish Smith, 27-7. He had 3 threes, 1 steal, and 1 block, and Nerlens Noel went 17-10 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. Big performances from Noel. We know he can be a real fantasy stud, and I think that he is going to get underdrafted, but who knows what happens with the Sixers next season, what happens with Embiid, with Saric, with Okafor, with Noel, who's on the team, but Noel can literally easily be a top 30 player, no problems whatsoever. Source Castillo was hot, 37 minutes for Source, 17, 7, and 5 with 3 triples. The shooting wasn't so hot, 4 of 13, but otherwise some pretty good numbers, and with Jeremy Grant playing 33 minutes, with Nerlens Noel back to 33 minutes, Carl Landry did not see the court at all, so much for his solid 22 minutes a night. Grant was disappointing, 10, 5, and 4, and really hampers your percentages. He is very far from a must-own player to me, while Hollis Thompson just went 2, 1, and 2 in his 27 minutes, shooting 1 of 11. Also, Isaiah Cannon for this team is out for the rest of the season with a torn labrum. The Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics, Giannis Antetokounmpo, 27-7-7, a steal and a block and 4 triples. I made a real big point a couple of weeks ago about talking about how he doesn't hit triples, and he hit 1 since the All-Star break, and I reckon he's hit about 20 since then. I know that's an exaggeration, but 4 threes in a game is mighty impressive from Giannis, and he also went 7 of 8 from the free throw line. So the two big areas that were a concern with him, he's turned them around recently. Rashad Vaughn played 40 minutes, and something was going to give at some point for Rashad, especially with the amount of minutes that he's getting. 12, 2, and 3, 2 threes, 2 steals, 1 block. Is he a guy that has 12-team relevance? I reckon he is more a 14er, but he's definitely got something. There's something there for 12s, as is with Tyler Ennis, who played 38 minutes and went 9, 6, and 11 and had 2 steals. Just one of these point guards, again, who's out there that you can add to get some assist numbers and to get some steals. Greggy Monroe, 10, 8, and 4. And Jabari Parker went 18, 5, and 1 in his 29 minutes. General Grievous Vasquez only played the 15, and Miles Plumlee had a big game, 16 and 5 with 3 steals in his 20 minutes, while John Henson had 5 and 4 and added 3 blocks. Henson is really just a block stream guy at this point. The Celtics, they had this one under control, so minutes, Brad Stevens doesn't need any sort of sign to go, we need to spread our minutes out, and so any sign of a blowout, it's always going to happen with Stephen. So looking at this, you can see, you know, Kelly Olynyk 16-7 with two steals in 23 minutes. You know I love Olynyk, but getting those minutes is the trouble. 26 points for Tyler Zeller, four blocks. But how often is that going to happen? Not much to really gain by digging too deep into this Celtics game. There's just minutes were spread all over the place, and it's just nice to see the guys that you know that can produce, like Olynyk, doing it, but the minutes are just not going to be there most likely most of the time. Washington and Detroit, Markieff Morris, 29-7 with two triples. He went 10 of 20 from the field. He's a guy that I think that should be owned in most spots. And Johnny Wall was out again with a knee injury. I do not think we see him again this season. So Ramon Sessions went 12-1-6, had a steal. You could look at owning Sessions in most spots, and you might have to drop Wall. Brad Beal played 41. Way to go with that leg injury. 25-6-3 with two triples. The Wizards are pretty much, I think, are they officially out? I think they're officially out of the playoffs now. So I don't think we should be seeing Beal get this many minutes, but it is Randy Whitman. So if it's the wrong decision is there to be made, he will make it. Muchin Gortat, 26 minutes, 8-4-3, while Otto Porter went 3-8 in his 31. Nene also a pretty good night, 13-4, but he's not going to have a massive impact moving forward. Marcus Morris bounced back after a little bit of a dry spell, 13-7 in 38 minutes with a couple of triples, while Toby Harris went 17-9 with three threes, and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope went 14-4 with two threes. Andre Drummond limited to just 26 minutes here, 8-6 with three steals. He has dropped off significantly. His percentages were both terrible here. No one's mentioned anything about Drummond's upcoming free agency, and I was thinking about that today. It almost seems guaranteed he's going back to Detroit, but what if he doesn't? It could be a really interesting play moving forward because he has regressed in this second half of the season. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope went 14-4 with two threes. And coming off the bench, it's always going to be Aaron Baines when Drummond struggles, but knowing when that's going to be is the tough point. 12-5 with a block for Baines and hit all 10 of his free throws. That's the massive difference between him and Drummond. And Stan Johnson, again, another DNP CD. He's really struggling post-shoulder injury. Indiana and Toronto. The Pacers got smashed in a game where the Raptors rested Kyle Lowry, Luis Scola, DeMar DeRozan, and Damari Carroll. The Pacers are just, they're limping to the finish line. There's not much to like with these guys. Miles Turner, 5-6 with two blocks in 23 minutes off the bench. He's not a standard league guy. Lavoie Allen went 12-8 in a start, nor is he. Paul George was bad, 4 of 11 for 14-4-3. He did have two threes, a steal, and a block, but not a good night. And Monte went 17-3-4 in his 29 minutes. Overall, a blowout, so minutes were spread all over the place. Yan Mihinmi accumulated 5 fouls in his 18 minutes. Had 2 and 5 with 3 blocks. He's fine to hold, but again, it all depends what 2-3 categories are really up for grabs at this point. That's where you need to be dropping guys and adding guys as necessary. Georgie Hill, 5 points and 3 assists. No need to be held onto in most spots either. For the Raptors, Corey Joseph got the start, 18-1-9 with 2 threes and a steal. So, and he hit all 6 of his shots, which won't happen again, obviously. But any time that that Kyle Lowry is out, Joseph is the guy we look at. Normie Power, brilliant, 41 minutes, 27-6-4 with 3 triples. As soon as DeMar DeRozan was out, you know that Powell was getting a huge bump. He went to the line 19 times, really taking that DeMar DeRozan role on. He hit 14 of them and has become one of my favorite players pretty quickly. Another guy who's one of my favorite players we've seen basically nothing of this year, DeLon Wright, who played 26 minutes and went 19-4-2. Really want to see him get a bigger role at some point in the coming seasons, but he showed that he can handle things out there. Jonas Valanciunas, 10-4 in only 21 minutes, sort of part of a resting strategy for him too, and not much to really write home about with the rest of the players. Jim Johnson got a start and went 9-5-3 in his 28 minutes. The next game, the Los Angeles Lakers and the New Orleans Pelicans. Byron Scott had a quote that he wants Kobe Bryant to play all 48 minutes of his final game, so that'd be interesting. Could Kobe set the record for most missed shots in a game if he plays 48 minutes? Massive chance, I reckon. D'Angelo Russell had 32 in this one, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and 3 triples, while Jordy Clarkson went 26-3 with 5 triples. So big games from both of their young guns, exactly what they want to see at this point. Julius Randle couldn't join the party, 7-4-6. The 6 assists are nice, but he is struggling at times. He has some big games and he has some poor ones. And Kobe went 14-3-4 and hit 3 triples, still just destroying field goal percentages. 4-15, and you cannot rely on Kobe to shoot well at all at this point. Larry Nance was back, 24 minutes, 8-4 with 2 steals and 2 blocks. very intriguing for dynasty formats, Nance. He's shown a lot this season, a lot more than I anticipated that he would show, probably more than the Lakers anticipated that he would show. He's been really good, and I think he can contribute in fantasy. He can be a triple one threat. He can rebound. He can score. An interesting guy moving forward for a team who doesn't have much in the way of... Well, they've got some young talent, you know, Russell, Clarkson, and Randall, but you throw Nance into that mix, and he could form that nice sixth man off the bench. He could play some three. He can play some five when they go small, or Randall plays the five. Very interesting player, I think, for them. Roy Hibbert, 4-6 in 17 minutes, and no Brandon Bass, no Lou Williams, just like it should be. On to the Pelicans. Speaking of my boys, like we were earlier on, Alexey Ajinsa. I told you this guy can do massive, massive things when gets a chance. 37 minutes, 28 and 15, 2 assists, 1 steal, 2 blocks. I won't say it again. He should be owned everywhere. They cannot start Omer Asik ahead of him. They cannot play Omer Asik and Perkins more minutes than what Ajinsa can do. He can do tremendous things, and I really value him as a player. He should be owned in most spots now. Lukey Babbitt probably should as well. 15, 3 and 4 with 3 threes, while Tone Douglas started in place of Tim Frazier, just because Elvin Gentry has to change the starting lineup every game, apparently. Tone Douglas went 26-4, while Frazier on the bench only scored 7, but added 3 rebounds, 12 assists, and a steal. Frazier's still a guy that's a must-own, and Douglas probably is as well, depending on the state of your team. Jordy Hamilton on the bench, struggling a little bit at the moment, no longer a must-own player, 12-2, while Jim Ennis, who started in front of him, had 6-3-2 in his 27 minutes. This team, look at this roster. Ajinsa, Babbitt, Cunningham, Douglas, Frazier, Ennis, Perkins, Hamilton, Asik. Horrible. Norris Cole, he won't play again this season, nor will Ryan Anderson. Speaking of teams who are an abysmal looking group with due to injuries, the Memphis Grizzlies took on the Dallas Mavericks. Tone Allen played 37 minutes and had 25-7 with 3 steals and a block. Good luck expecting that again. He's had a couple of just out of the blue games, Tone Allen, but then he'll play 21 in the next one and have 4 points. So he really is remaining just a rebounds guy, and of course one of the ultimate steals streamers out there. Matty Barnes, 11-7-5 with 2 steals and 3 threes. He's going to shoot a lot, and he's going to miss a lot, but he's going to accumulate other numbers as well. Well, Lance Stephenson returned from a DNP today and went 10-6-5 in his 25 minutes. Jordy Farmer, 11-2-2 in a 26-minute start, and Xavier Munford played 15 off the bench. Not much else to really report in terms of the point guard. Zachary Randolph, 13-6-2 on 6 of 20 shooting, not his best night, while Jermichael Green only played 14 minutes and went 7-3. Not a great return from Green. I reckon you can do better in most sort of formats. On to the Mavericks. Dirk, 21-3-2 with 2 threes. That's solid. So was Ray Felton, who really stepped up with JJ Barea going down. Barea dealing with a groin strain. 11-6-14 for Felton in 36 minutes, 2 steals and a 3. You would say that Barea is going to have to miss a game or two at least, so Felton is the logical replacement, and Devin Harris will get some extra run too. 16-4 with 3 triples for Harris. Wes Matthews played 44 minutes, 3 triples and 11 points. He probably should be owned, and the center position is just as confusing as ever. Dave Lee played 8-5 in 16 minutes. Salah Mejri went 9-3 with a block in 13 minutes. And Dwight Power got on the court for 45 seconds, while Zaza Pachulia played 22 and went 1-4 with 2 steals and a block. None of those guys are even really touching 14 team league value at this point. Speaking of horrible losses, the Los Angeles Clippers on the road with no JJ Redick, Wes Johnson, Austin Rivers, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan beat the Utah Jazz, who needed this victory to really solidify themselves in the playoffs. It is a horrible, horrible, horrible loss. We've talked about Cole Aldrich being an absolute animal. Paul Pierce was great as well, played 33 minutes, which just feels like way too much, especially when you could have been running CJ Wilcox out there. 18-2-2 for Pierce, 4 triples and 3 steals. Big performance, don't get excited. And Jamal Crawford played 49 minutes in the overtime game, 35-4, a steal, a block, 4 triples, and like these other guys, his value and his role will decrease significantly when everyone returns. With Rivers and Paul out, Pablo Prigioni started, 13-7-7 with 2 triples. He was always going to be in a good spot once those both guys were out. And Luke Marmute played 33 minutes and had 0 points. Maybe he's the king of doing the least with the most. Jeff Green off the bench, he played through a knee problem, 18-4 with 3 triples, a steal and a block. Great value there, obviously, as well. And CJ Wilcox, 2-3 in 18 minutes. But it's all skewed by having 6 guys out of your regular rotation. So Pierce, Crawford, Prigioni, Green, none of these guys are going to have, even Aldridge to a degree, not going to have value for the most part moving forward. Gordie Hayward, 24-13-5 with 3 triples, and Derek Favors had 11-11 with 2 steals and 4 blocks. They were the best of the Jazz. And then a lot of disappointment. Rod Hood was 5-19, 13-5 with 2 triples and 2 assists. Not his best night. Rudy Gobert was terrible, 7-7 with no defensive stats. Trey Lyles had 4-4, and Alec Burks returned. He had 11 points with 3 triples and 4-5 shooting. But it's only 13 minutes. I don't imagine that he's going to be someone to own in most spots as he eases himself back into the rotation. Shelvin Mack, he was really, really terrible in this one. 13-2-2, but you still have to hold on to him. But I imagine if Burks can get back up to speed for the last game or so, then Mack is going to cop a hit because he's really just not that good. The San Antonio Spurs and the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets get the victory. The Spurs with no Parker, no Ginobili, no Leonard, no Aldridge, no Green, no Boris Diaw. David West started 17-7 with 5 blocks and a steal. Awesome. Kevin Martin had a big game as well. Probably his best for the Spurs. 17-6 with 2 triples. While Jono Simmons started, played 35 and went 15-5. Kyle Anderson. I was looking for a big game from Anderson. He went 1-9 for 2 points, which sort of sunk him. 6 rebounds and 2 assists. Bobo Majanovic, 9-4-2. Paddy Mills, 7-3-7. And this is the concern. Paddy Mills had a 1-1 as well, but this is the concern when the Spurs rest guys, is all these guys for DFS especially, their values are there. Oh my God, look at who am I going to add? It's West, it's Martin, it's Simmons, it's Majanovic, it's Mills, it's Anderson. But not all of them are going to succeed. And it's picking who's going to have the big game. Like Anderson got the minutes, did nothing with him. Mills played only 23 minutes. Well, Andre Miller started and played 28. Jono Simmons had a decent game. Martin and West played well. But it's hard to predict what's going to happen a lot of the time in this sort of spot. On to the Nuggets. Emmanuel Mudiay, 26-5, 3 threes, a steal and a block, 36 minutes. And that meant that DJ Augustine played only 14 minutes. He's obviously droppable, Augustine. And Mudiay, great on the percentages as well. So probably one of his best games of the season. Yusuf Nurkic got the start, played 34 minutes. And the fact that he started next to Nikola Jokic makes me exceptionally happy. 21-9 for Nurkic, 2 steals and 2 blocks, and Jokic went 8-15-4 with a steal and a block in 32 minutes. I cannot be any happier than seeing those two starting together. There was no Ken Faried, there was no Darrell Arthur, so it was likely forced, but I would love to see that continue, at least in these last couple of games, to see if it can work. Will Barton had 11-2-2 off the bench in 33 minutes. If Will Barton wins Sixth Man of the Year, I am not going to be impressed. Gaz Harris, disappointing, 6-3-3. While Jakar Sampson, one of his better games, 16-4 in 25 minutes, 2 steals and a block, but he's a 16-18 team league sort of player. I love that Joffrey Lavernier played only 15 while Nurkic and Jokic got the most of the minutes because that's the way that it should be, and not much else to really talk about Nuggets-wise. All right, we've got through all those games now. I'm going to take a quick break, and then we're going to talk about the games for Saturday for a DFS point of view.
This is the part with just the guitar, while we wait on the bass and drums. I'll sing of love and you from afar. Well, here they come in now. Me and the sky are on the road. As we hit the halftime break, the chorus lets you know you can't see what I see. Just like a moment in the sun. It's formula, rocks on the moon.
six games on Saturday. We'll start with the next, well, not the next one, we'll start with the first one. That's always a very good place to start, and it is one of the more fantasy-friendly looking games out there. It's the Phoenix Suns and the New Orleans Pelicans. Let's start by looking at the point guards. Ron Price is at 3,800 still. He last time he played, he had 26 points in 27 minutes. He's been a little bit up and down, but it's not like the Pelicans' defense is all that great. So Ron Price at 3,800 looks like tremendous value. I'd love Tim Frazier, but he's at 6,600. It's pretty expensive. He is averaging 36 across his last five, and the matchup is absolutely superb. So I don't hate using him, but that salary is massive, especially if he's coming off the bench. Tone Douglas at 55. He dropped 34 in his last game back as a starter. I'm absolutely fine using him as well. Using both of them is not a big deal. So you could put Price, Frazier, and Douglas into lineups. You probably wouldn't fit them on FanDuel especially, but on DraftKings you might, because they're all in really, really good spots here. The shooting guards, Devin Booker is at 6,700. He's very much a tournament-only play. He's up and down. He only had 20 in the last game. He's averaging just 27 across his last five, but he has had a 45-pointer in there. So that's good. Obviously, you don't need me to tell you that 45 points is good. He can put up big numbers, but he has struggled the last time he played the Pelicans. He's up and down. He's not someone I'm massively keen on. Archie Goodwin and John Jenkins, obviously not keen on those guys. The small forwards, I like Jim Ennis. He's at 3,800. At some point, it's going to turn around for him. He's averaging 19 points in the last five, and at 3,800, that's good. But you feel like he's going to have a 26 point game, so he's worth looking at. Jordy Hamilton, on the other hand, he's at 4,600. Feels just a little bit expensive. I'm not all that keen on him. Lukey Babbitt at 54, he's been rock solid. He's averaging over 31 in his last five games. Off the bench starting, he's putting up nice numbers. Think he's a good guy to use, as is PJ Tucker at 5,500. Now, he's a little bit more volatile, but still, he's averaging 32 points across the last five games. Absolutely fine with using any of these guys. So there's a lot of value in this one. At power forward, Mirza Teletovic, 5,500, been destroying teams lately, averaging 31 in his last five, dropped 34 in the last game. The salary's risen, but it's not enough to dissuade me from looking at him. While Alex Len at 5,700, I don't mind it, but I'm definitely not loving it. Dante Cunningham, John Lua, not much interest there. The centers is where I am loving it. Alexei Zhinsser is at 4,500. He just dropped a casual 53 today. He's already averaging 29 across his last five. That'd be stupid not to continue to start him. 4,500 has to be smashed everywhere. Tyson Chandler at 5,600. Well, he's getting inexplicable minutes, but it's working for him. 37 points across his last three games. He's basically a fantasy point per minute guy. And if you think he's going to play 30 minutes, which you should have no reason to think that he won't, then he's going to make value. Absolutely love Tyson Chandler here as well. On the other scale of things, Omer Asik and Kendrick Perkins. Well, I think it's fair to say that I'm not their biggest fans. Boston and Atlanta. The Hawks are favored by 5.5. The total is 201 points. Start with the point guards. Dennis Schroeder is at 3,700. He has been terrible lately. I will not be using him in this sort of difficult matchup. Jeffy Teague at 6,800 has been good, but it's a bad matchup. Isaiah Thomas, point guards have been succeeding against the Hawks. He's averaging 34 across his last five, but he's quite expensive. But I think this is the sort of matchup that I can see Thomas putting up numbers. It's a battle for not seeding, but those group between the 3 and the 6 who can, you're going to be facing each other in the playoffs in the first round potentially. I think Thomas has got a 40-point upside here. Marcus Smart at 45, I don't think he's worth really getting too into. Shooting guards, Kyle Korver was massive the last time the Hawks played, but there is no trust in him. 3,800, he remains a tournament guy. Avery Bradley at 58. Not that keen there. And Timmy Hardaway, despite Kent Bazemore out in the last game, played 28 minutes but only dropped 18 points. He is minimum salary. So if Bazemore's out again, I think that Hardaway makes a nice tournament option. Speaking of Kent Bazemore, he's at 4,900 for the small forwards. The last time he dropped 44 points. At 4,900, I'd absolutely love to use him if we knew he was going to play. Jay Crowder at 63, not a good matchup for him. No thanks. Thabo, no. And Evan Turner at 6,100, it's too expensive at the moment. Power forwards, Paulie Millsap. Celtics bump is great. 8,500 for him. He's great in himself. He's almost averaging 50 across his last three anyway, so I think that him getting 50 here would not be a shock. Amir Johnson, Jared Sullinger, too risky. You just don't know what's going to happen, and they're good players, and they can put up numbers in 30 minutes, but they're likely to get 21 or 16 or 25. Who knows what's going to happen? Tournaments only, and even then, it's a significant risk. Chris Humphries, Jonas Jerepko, Mike Muscala. I don't think we need to get too interested there. Al Horford, I do like a lot, though. He's averaging 34 the last three times he's played the Celtics. He's at 6,900. He should be in play to get 35 points here. I really do like him. Kelly Olynyk was great, but again, it just ties in with Amir Johnson and Jonas Jerepko and Jared Sullinger as the power forwards. What's he going to do? He's averaging 14 points across his last five. And Tyler Zeller, who dropped just a casual 41 today, probably, that's great, but minimum salary, he might play 5 minutes in the next game. Really, really tough to know what the Celtics are going to do. Golden State on their march towards victory number 71 here, taking on the Memphis Grizzlies at Memphis. You would imagine they handle this one pretty comfortably. You would hate to see them lose to a non-team like the Grizzlies. At point guard, Jordan Farmar is at 3,600. It's playing against Steph, you can actually put up some points, but Farmar really has struggled to do anything despite having that 25 to 26 minute role. Not loving him. Steph's at 10,500. I reckon he's a great tournament play. He could go bananas in the first three quarters, but there is a risk that the game is out of hand and they drop the Grizzlies by 50 and Steph sits down. So not a cash game play. The tournament, yes. Xavier Munford, Sean Livingston. Don't think there's. It'd be hard to find them into a winning DFS lineup. Shooting guards, Klay Thompson's at 7,000. He is averaging 35 the last three times he's played Memphis, but that it's not quite enough. To me, he's just not the guy that I'm interested in here. Tone Allen at 4,500. We saw he could have a massive game. He dropped 41 in Friday's action, but at 4,500, do you think that he can get to 25? Because I'm a little bit hesitant on it. Lance Stevenson's too expensive, and Leandro Barbosa, Brandon Rush, Ian Clark, they're obviously not worth the price of admission. Harry Barnes at 4,900. I reckon you've got to consider him. He's averaging 26 across his last five, had a big 29er in the last game. The matchup is brilliant. Absolutely fine with using Harry. And his namesake, Matty Barnes, at 5,700. I'd rather take Harry for 800 less, but Barnes is in play at that. He's averaging 28 across his last three, but he is quite a risky guy to look at. Iguodala, Vince Carter, PJ Hairston, I don't think we will be using those guys. Draymond's at 8,900, so he's dropped by $100. Can he get to 45 points? The matchup is brilliant for Draymond. The risk is there. He is a tournament play, not really a cash guy. Jermichael Green on the other side, no interest. While Zachy Randolph at 75, probably, it's just, it feels $500 too expensive. Maybe $1,000. Maurice Spates, Jarrell Martin, James Michael McAdoo. Of course, we're not getting too interested in what they can do. Andy Bogut is averaging 27 points across his last three. He's at 4,400. The matchup is brilliant. I could see using him in a tournament. I could also see it falling completely on its face and not working out at all. So I'm not really that interested in Bogut. Birdman, Festus Ezeli, not much to like there. The Cleveland Cavaliers and the Chicago Bulls. The Bulls are officially eliminated from the playoffs. The Cavs crush them pretty regularly. Tyronn Lue has said he is not resting players, but that doesn't mean that they don't get pulled after 27 minutes, so there's a chance of that. So Derrick Rose at 6,400, good matchup against Kyrie, but he hasn't really taken advantage of it the last couple of times, averaging under 30 points. I'm not massively interested here. Kyrie at 7,200, I'd love it if we thought that he'd play the whole game. I think that he can get to 35 points, though, so Kyrie's not a bad option. Aaron Brooks and Matthew Dellavedova, you'd have to predict an injury to either Irving or Rose to really use them. At shooting guard, J.R. Smith has had some big games. He's had some poor games. He's at 4,500, tournaments only. Jim Butler at 84. Speaking of good and bad, in his last five, he's had a game of 73 points and a game of 13 points. That's a fair swing. The salary's dropped by 100. Not a massive fan of spending $8,400 for Jim Butler in this sort of spot, especially against the Cavs, who are quite good defending the wings. You put Iman Shumpert on him, it could bother him. Not a massive fan of Jim here. Shumpert, on the other hand, not using him. And Justin Holiday played 30 minutes in the last game, put up 21 points, and he's at $3,600. I have no trust in that happening again. Small forwards, LeBron. Love it here, 10,500. Yes, he might play 30 minutes, but LeBron could easily put up 50 in 30 minutes against the Bulls. He's averaging 52 points the last three times he's played them. He's averaging 53 across his last five games. Good matchup. Can't say anything more about LeBron. Nick Mirotic at 5,100. The roller coaster continues. It's a horrible matchup for Mirotic, but it doesn't stop me wanting to look at him in a tournament. Dougie McDermott, Mike Dunleavy, Richard Jefferson, James Jones. I think you know what we do with them. I like Tristan Thompson. He's at 4,500. The Bulls' front court bump is significant. Now, he's been down to the dumps. He'll be a contrarian option in tournaments. But 30 points is not crazy for Tristan Thompson. He's had a 33 in the last five games. This is not crazy for him. 6,900 for Kevin Love. Bulls bump is significant here. And I do think that Love is interesting. But will he get enough minutes? That's a concern. He's averaging just 25 across his last three. He's had a few issues with his back. I'm not massively interested. Bob Portis at 3,800. No. And Channing Frye can best, though. I don't think we need to worry there. Taj Gibson's doubtful. He's unlikely to play again this season, I would think. Pau Gasol, we could be seeing the last couple of games of Gasol in a Bulls uniform. He's priced at 8,500. The matchup is not good, so he is not someone that I'm going to be wanting to spend 8,500 on. Tim Mozgov, Cristiano Felizio, I don't think we want to spend up on them either. The Minnesota Timberwolves and the Portland Trailblazers, the next game. The Blazers are favored by 8.5 points. The total is 215. Let's look at the point guards. Dame Lillard at 8,000. I think 40 points is bang on where he gets you. There is risk because he has had some real poor games of recent times, but I think that 40 points is not a bad target. Rick Rubio, on the other hand, at 6,500, he's averaging just 17 across his last three. I don't mind him in a tournament because I don't think many will own him, and he could be easily a 35-point performer, but I don't have much confidence in it. Tyus Jones and Brian Roberts, obviously they're just backups. Shooting guards, love CJ McCollum at 7,000 here. I think that he should be able to eclipse 35 points. He's averaging 34 across his last five. Zach LaVine's an interesting guy as well at 5,500. I think he feels like a relatively safe cash option. While Gerald Henderson at 3,800, he's been playing some decent minutes. He's averaging 20 points across his last five, and at 3,800, that's plenty of value. And I think that you can use him as a tournament just to fill in a cheap option. Alan Crabb, don't think he really doesn't push my buttons for DFS anyway. The small forwards, Mo Harkless's salary has risen by 1,000. He is now up to 5,400, but I don't care. He's averaging 31 in his last five. He's averaging 36 in his last three. The matchup's not tough. Absolutely fine to use Mo Harkless. Wigo is at 7,000. He was a little bit disappointing in his last game, but he's an okay guy to look at, but I would definitely spend the 1,600 less and take Mo. Shabazz Muhammad, one good game against the Warriors, the rest garbage, leave him alone. And Al-Farouq Aminu at 5,700, he's more of a punt option, but he's had a 49-point game in the last one. He's averaging 32 across the last five, so he's been pretty good, but there'll be some stinkers in there, so just be aware of that. Nemanja Bjelica is playing all right. He's at 3,800, but I'm not sure that I really want to use him. The power forwards, Gorgui Dieng finally got back in action in the last game for the Wolves. He's at 5,800. No thanks. Eddie Davis at 44. Not real much interest there either. The centers, Mason Plumlee has looked pretty decent recently. He's at 5,500. He's averaging 20 or 30 points across his last five games. The matchup's not that easy, but he's an okay guy to look at. I love the other side though. Karl Anthony Towns, 8,800. A drop of $100 is good for me. He's averaging 38 across his last five, which is a little bit down, but this could be a game where he puts up a pretty massive performance. Also on Myers Leonard, he had surgery today. He is going to be out for apparently the next 6 to 8 months with his shoulder injury. That's not great for him. Let's look at the last game, and it is the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Sacramento Kings. No spread release for this one. We don't have any word on resting at this point. We imagine that these guys will play, but we don't know yet. Obviously, if guys rest, we know that guys like Darren Collison for the Kings, Costa Kufos, Willie Cauley-Stein become good options. Rondo at 7,900, a great matchup against Westbrook. He's averaging 46 the last three times he's taken on the Thunder. That's impressive. Okay with looking at him. Westbrook, on the other hand, great, even greater matchup taking on Rondo. But the Thunder's locked in. They're locked into their playoff seat. I don't think that Rondo or that Westbrook plays as balls out as what he has or plays as many minutes as he has. And that concerns me at 10,600. Darren Collison becomes a must play if Rondo is out at 6,000. And campaign, he'd be a must play if Westbrook's out. He dropped 22 in the last game at 3,600. For the shooting guards, Dion Wade is at 4,000. I reckon he's a good tournament play because there's a chance that these guys play 27, 28 minutes and he gets 28 to 30 minutes as well and hits some shots. Seth Curry at 44, tournament, but that feels just a little bit high for what we know that he can do. Randy Foy, Jim Anderson, Anthony Morrow, Andre Robertson, Ben McLemore. I think you're getting pretty desperate if you're adding those guys in. Small forwards, Kev Durant, 10,500. I would love it. The matchup's awesome, but again, there's that risk associated with it. Rudy Gay at 6,800. I'm okay with using Rudy Gay. I think that Rudy Gay is a pretty decent play. He's averaging 40 points across his last three. And when Boogie returns, it does take some of the shine away from what Gay can do, but 6,800 is not a massive salary. Josh Eustace, Kyle Singler, Caron Butler, no interest there. And Omri Casper, he's unlikely to play again this season. Power forward, Serge Ibaka's at 5,500. That salary is really tasty. The matchup is tasty. I'm okay with using Serge. I think he's a good play. Willie Cauley-Stein at 5,300. When Boogie returns, not as interested in using him. But 5,300 is not a big salary, so it's not a terrible move to do. And also, the Kings have recalled Duye Dukan. So maybe he's going to get his first minutes of the season. We can only hope. And that would leave Rakeem Christmas as the only player on a roster who's not injured, who hasn't played. Let's hope that Dukan gets a minute. At center, Steve Adams is at 4,500. Don't love it when you're taking on Boogie. It's just not a good spot. Boogie, on the other hand, 10,700. If you've got the cash, fine. But the Thunder have been really good at defending centers. He is averaging 49 points in the last three outings, so that's pretty decent from Boogie. So he's not a complete stay away. Well, Enes Kanter just had a casual 60 in the last game. He won't get to those heights, obviously, with everyone still with everyone back. But we know what he can do if given the opportunity. 5,800, not really loving using him at that salary. Let's have a look at the DFS picks of the day for Saturday's action. At point guard, Ron Price, 38, Tone Douglas, 55, and Dame Lillard at 8,000. The shooting guards, Gerald Henderson, 38, CJ McCollum, 7,000. And I don't like any of the high-priced shooting guards. I think the only one out there was Jim Butler. Small forwards, Jim Ennis, 38, Mo Harkless, 54, and LeBron James, 10,500. The power forwards, Tristan Thompson, 45, Mirza Teletovic, 55, and Paulie Millsap at 8,500. The centers, Alexei Ajinser at 45, Tyson Chandler 56, and Karl Anthony Towns 8,800. We are done for today's podcast, guys. Make sure you're following me on Twitter at redrock_bball, and of course, Basketball Monster at Bask Monster. Check out all the stuff happening at hardwoodparoxysm.com, basketballmonster.com, you know, all the great stuff that's happening over there. Good luck as your season winds down. Good luck in your DFS matchups. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.